hard-hearted. It's amazing to me how many times I think that I know a word, and so we take that meaning and then we put it in the way that God speaks. One of the things that's a little different about Scripture is that it comes from a lot of, you had the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. And the Hebrew word was very explanatory. It was very colorful. It really put depth to the meaning. And if you look at the meaning of our words, right, it seems like that they're just simple one-word answers just to kind of move on. And so just because we hear something from Scripture, like if we hear hard-hearted, okay, we think of someone that is mean, someone that is callous, someone that is abrasive, unapproachable, a sourpuss. I mean, all these kind of things that we put with a hard heart. But, you know, God sees that a lot differently. Mark 4:13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" The way that Jesus spoke to the apostles, the disciples that were around him, and he spoke to them, he was a little surprised that they didn't know what he was talking about. You know, at first when I read that, I thought, well, this is God coming to man and teaching them, and he's speaking in parables like a great poet. If you said something to him, that he would speak in poet language. You know, it's like you would talk to a physicist or a doctor, and they have to dumb it down in order for you to understand. But Jesus, when he spoke to the apostles, he expected them to understand. And so when he talked to them, it was very clear that the way that God saw things, even with God's word there with us, it was difficult for us to see things the way that God saw them. And so when he spoke parables to them, there were things that he looked at and he was just like, you know, I can't understand why you don't know these things. He says, it dawned on me as I, you know, over the years as I read, is because he had to go and explain them to him. Well, I can understand God explaining what he meant, but I kind of missed all those years that he actually expected those people to understand what he was saying. So if we're kind of lost at times when we're in our journey and we look at our life and we think, you know, I don't quite understand why things are happening the way that they are. God sees things in a different way than we do. I'll give you an example. You know, it seems for no reason somebody shows up at church. And then when that some person shows up, we look around and there's a person that has completely left, gone. It doesn't seem to make sense. What drew somebody in and then pushed somebody away? What is it that when you look and you think that if you can express the love of God in a way that somebody could understand it? And that's what the parables did. It expressed how God saw things and how he cared about you in a way that we could understand, because it used earthly tones. And so when he did this, this would draw people in. But you know, for some, it didn't draw them in. It pushed them away. And it doesn't seem to make sense when we look at our walk, because we wonder, how is God at work through all of this stuff? Matthew 26:69-74. This one is I like this verse better than some of the others that describe this incident, because they said that Peter cursed at the woman who asked him, "Did you know Jesus?" Now Peter sat outside, it's Matthew 26:69-74. Now when Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, he said, "Wait a minute, you also were with the Jesus of Galilee." And he looked and said, "No, I wasn't." This is Peter. They said, "You were with Jesus?" And he said, No, that wasn't me. Peter said, I would die for you, Lord. Remember when he made that statement? But here, just the simplest of things. No, I didn't. But he denied it before all of them, saying, he said, I don't know what you're saying. And when he'd gone out of the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, wait, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And Peter was scared that he didn't know what was going on. Jesus had been taken away by the Romans, and he was afraid that he was going to be taken away by the Romans. He was afraid that something was going to happen to him, and he wanted to make sure that he was right. John the Baptist said the same thing, right? John the Baptist said, I'm about ready to lose my head. He said, so I want to know for sure, are you the one? He proclaimed him, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But when his head was on the line, right, his life, he said, I need to know if you're the right one. And Jesus didn't say, yes, I am. Right? He said, go back and tell John that the blind see, the deaf can hear, and the mute speak. Right? Verse 72, but again he denied with an oath, I swear to you, I don't know that man. Now this is Peter. And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Verse 74, then he began to curse and swear. So he didn't just say, you know, darn it, I told you, right? He began to curse and swear, you know, like we would when we get really mad and we regret what we've said, right? These kind of things. This is how Peter acted. He said, I do not know the man. And then a rooster crowed. Now Jesus told him when he says, I will die for you, Lord. And he says, surely I tell you that the rooster will crow and you will have denied me three times by the morning. See, we think that we understand. We think that we have a heart of understanding, and we think we have a heart of love. We think we have a heart of compassion, that we have a heart. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the kind of heart that we have. Even Scripture says that He was going to take the heart of stone out of us and give us a heart that could actually live for God. That's pretty amazing that God knows this about us and He was willing to do something like this. Because if we go back and look, when He says, do you understand this parable? See, God saw things differently. And so when we look at Peter, this was pretty bad. But see, there's something else I want us to look at. In Acts 1:18, it says, now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all of his entrails gushed out. Y'all know who this was? That was Judas. And you know why he did this? Because he betrayed Jesus. Peter did the same thing, didn't he? What's the difference between these two people? They both repented. What's the difference between these two men? Both of them betrayed Jesus. Even to the point that Peter cussed. He denied him three times. They kept coming to him. He kept lying. And then he got so mad, he just started cussing at him. And that's the way that a man, it's like a bear that stands up, right? They just start getting out of control. And that's to say, look, unless you think you can take me, you better back down, right? A man's not going to just go up to another man that's bigger that could stomp him into the ground and provoke him. And so when men do that, they're saying, look, you're pushing me to a limit that unless you think you're going to be able to handle this, you better back off. And that's what Peter was doing. He was telling these people because they kept coming to him. And he stood up. He said, I don't know this man. In Acts 1:18, we see that Judas also betrayed Jesus and his guilt left him to death. Right? Both Peter and Judas expecting something from Jesus, and both were disappointed. Peter did not expect the man that he was willing to die for to give in so easily without a fight and go with the Romans. He didn't want that to happen because he knew what they were going to do to him. And he got mad at Jesus because he thought Jesus was strong and Jesus appeared weak. And so when Jesus was going to align himself with a loser, Right? That's what they were saying. Your Messiah, your big man that was going to save Israel. And look, he's been carried away and he didn't do nothing. And Peter didn't want to be associated with that because he was hurt. He was mad. Judas, the same thing. He expected Jesus to rise up and be a conquering king. And Jesus was not showing that kind of stuff that was going on. And I believe that Judas, he was trying to spur Jesus on. He was trying to, he had got the things going. Everybody was excited. And if Jesus wasn't going to fall in line, he was going to take him out of the way. Right? Both of these people were disappointed and expected something from Jesus. Both of them had remorse. Both of them had remorse. Peter was upset that this has happened because typically when somebody gets mad, there's a lot more of sadness involved that provokes that anger. And so Peter had definitely had remorse because when he came to Jesus, he told him, he was like, you know all these things. And he was so ashamed of himself. There's no doubt that Judas felt remorse. He killed himself. He took his own life. Both of them repented. Both of them repented. They acknowledged that they had done wrong. Do you know what Judas did? He took the money that they had given him and he took it back to the men and he threw it at their feet. He said, I don't want it anymore. I shouldn't have done what I did. And he ran out and they said, we don't want this. This is blood money. You see, one went to Jesus and the other went to the world. But they both repented. You see, this is where Jesus shows us with that idea of a hard heart. If I would have told you that there wasn't a lot of difference at this point right here in their life between Judas and Peter, who would have argued? When they saw Peter acting the way that he was, and they saw Judas trying to further the cause, Peter looked like a coward. Judas looked strong. He was trying to further the cause of the Israelite nation rising back up to power. There was no difference in these two men at this time. They both were disappointed and they wanted something from Jesus that they did not get. And therein lies your idea of a hard heart. Do you think, how long would it have been that Peter would have stuck around, that Peter would have still entertained the idea of Jesus and done these things? How hard was his heart? His heart was hardening. How hard would his heart have become had he not come back to Jesus for that repentance? When Judas went to the world, they didn't care. But when Peter went back to Jesus, and what I'm saying is that we think we know by looking at people who has a hard heart and who does not. We think we look at people and we think we know who has a servant's heart and who does not. But Peter, at that point in his life, he looked no different than Judas did, and both of them were in a state that was very dangerous. And we both would have looked at them and we'd have said, bah, forget both of them. But the difference was is that Peter went to Jesus to repent. He took his sins, he took his failures, and he went back and he said, this I can't live with. Can you forgive me? Judas could have done the same thing. But see, his heart actually hardened against God. Peter's did not. But you couldn't have told the difference. You couldn't have seen the difference. You think you would have known the difference, but you didn't see the difference. See, both of these men served Jesus. Both of them did. And then, well, they were a part of his ministry. If you go down, because they'll say, well, Judas really wasn't a part. If you go and look at verse 17 in Acts 1:17, just back up one verse. That's what you were saying. They don't read before and they don't read after. Just go back one verse. It specifically says that he was a part of the ministry of Jesus. Both of these men served Jesus. But looking from the outside, no one noticed that Judas was going to be the one that was going to betray him. Did they? They all walked with this person. They all ate with this person. They all went around the campfire with this person. They sit and sung songs and hymns, and they and they learned as Jesus taught, and they ate and they slept, and no one knew the difference between Judas and Peter. No one knew what Peter was capable of. Probably a lot of the apostles looked at Peter and thought, wow, if I could just be as dedicated as he is. He wants to die for the Lord. He wants to, you know, if I could just be that dedicated. And look at how Peter acted. No one noticed. Jesus did not treat Judas any different than he treated Peter. And you ask, when he knew, why would he do something like that if he knew? And he did know, because he said, I chose 12 of you, yet one of you is the devil. He knew that. So why would he not treat Judas different than Peter? He gave Judas the same chance as he gave Peter. That's why. He didn't look at Judas and say, you're not worth it, and Peter, you are. See, it is amazing to me. It's just so amazing to me that God is not partial. We are. I don't know why. It's something that I hate about myself. You can look at people and you find yourself and you're like, oh my gosh, here I go, sitting around talking about somebody. God, forgive me, right? Because you find yourself, you're doing all this, and the next thing you know, you're in this conversation where this person's better than that person, and this person does this, and wow, if I could be like this person. And it's just, at least once a week, you find yourself there. No one noticed, because Jesus actually gave them both the same chance. That's amazing to me. I think this is my last slide. I got something I want to show you after I turn off the recording. Romans 11, 1 through 2. I say then, has God cast away His people? Certainly not. For I am also an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away His people whom He foreknew. And this is one of those places where, you know, people say that God came and brought the gospel, and He tried to get the Jew to come over to Jesus, and it didn't work. Well, this right here, Paul specifically says it did work. He said, because that's what they were basically telling them. That if this was the Messiah, don't you think us as the Pharisees would have seen and known it? And Paul said that when it come to the law, he said, I was blameless. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he says that I was an Israelite. I saw Jesus. How come you didn't? You see, how did Paul see that Jesus was the Christ? How did he see that? It's easy enough to say, well, the resurrection. Right, when He raised from the dead? No, because after He raised from the dead, guess what Paul was doing? He was killing Christians. He had a letter from the Sanhedrin that gave him permission to go into a house, to a building, and to drag out the Christians and bring them to judgment. So it wasn't the resurrection. He was blinded on the road to Damascus. Was it that that happened? The people who rejected Jesus did so by the exact same scriptures that taught Paul that the Jesus who blinded him was the Christ. You see, because Paul, multiple times, went and told them that the Jesus, and he went back into the law and he brought this stuff forward. If you look at Hebrews, which most people believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, and if you look at the book of Hebrews, you'll see that this book brings out the law in Christ. Paul knew the law and he knew the scriptures that come in there, and he brought these things together to show Christ. The same scriptures that Paul saw Jesus who He was is the exact same scriptures that he read prior to being blinded, and he didn't see it. You see, Paul had a hard heart towards God. He believed that this Jesus was not the God he was waiting on. It was not the Messiah. He read all those scriptures, but he had a hard heart. And it wasn't until God broke that heart. And this is the point of the message, is that we have a heart of stone. Peter had a heart of stone. You would have thought that he had a wonderful, loving heart. Judas had a heart of stone. That one you can believe. But you couldn't tell the difference. My point is that God has got to break your heart in order to give you one that is alive. Jeremiah says that his word is like a hammer that comes crashing down and that breaks your heart into pieces. It's like a stone, it's bust a stone into pieces. You see, by the faithfulness of Moses, God opened the heart of Pharaoh. Here was a man that went to the king of the world at the time and said, God says, let my people go. And God, because of those words, because of Moses' faithfulness, he went to someone, and God, through those words, opened up the heart of Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh entertained the idea of letting them go. Remember, if you read the story, he says, I'll let you go. And then he come back and he says, I won't let you go. Was he playing games? I think that God opened his heart. And the reason that he heard those words from Moses, because Moses spoke scripture to him, because we read what he says, and that's scripture to us. Moses spoke scripture to him, which is the word of God. And it was because Moses had the faith to go do that. Do you think Moses thought that anything ever was going to come of it? Nah. But he did the will of God. He said, I'll go there. He said, but he's never going to let us go. And God showed Moses what the word of God could do to the heart of man. Revelations 3:15 through 16, he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It's pretty odd. We were about to read that this morning when we were studying Revelation, but we weren't there yet. We still had some, we were in the other church before that. Get ready to start the faithful one. But see, this is Jesus saying this to the church. How can we be a people that are driven by the Word of God, that we are taught by the Word of God? How can we be a people where Scripture shows us God? We say to rely ourselves on Scripture, but then we come to a place where we read, we see God, we see Him at work, we see His church, we see the struggles of the people, we spend time in prayer or whatever, but nothing motivates us. And this is what He's saying to the church. He says, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. When you read that, who's he talking to? Yeah. But he's talking to you because he's telling you to beware of how easy it is for you to get back that hard heart. Judas was a member, part of the ministry. He worked, he did works, he did all these things, but he came to a point where when Jesus was speaking and other people were on the edge of their seats, Judas just sat there and he's thinking, it's just not working for me. I gotta get rid of this guy. I want this guy. He's not even listening to him anymore. But he was still following around. He was still in the ministry. He was still collecting money. He was still doing all these things that it looked like that he was doing the same thing Peter was. You see, our walk with Jesus is not always as we would want it to be. And that's what happened between Judas and Peter. Didn't turn out the way they wanted. And in us, if we aren't paying attention, a hard heart will develop. See, we have this idea, just like they did, of how God should work and how He works through us. But understand, God is showing us that He is going to have to take the heart of stone that you had, and He's going to have to give you that heart of flesh. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, that changes everything. But understand, everything has to change. And so I ask you to take a serious look. When you look back at your life, what has changed? If you thought you were a Christian before, which I did, okay? If you thought you were a Christian before and now you are a Christian, do you read more? Do you pray more? What has changed in your life? I look back and I never opened the Word of God. But I prayed every night. And the only thing that I prayed for every night before I was a Christian, I just thanked God that He was who He was. And I felt like that if He was the one in charge, that He certainly knew better for me than I did. I wasn't confused that there was another God. I wasn't confused. The only thing I was confused about is if He was a Jew, why did the Jews reject Him? Right? That's what I thought. Didn't understand. But since the Holy Spirit has come into my life, I'm very careful around anger. I'm not saying that anger won't take control of me, but I'm very careful at how I let that produce. I'm very careful about how, if I'm going to get angry, how hot I let that fire burn and how long I would let it burn. Because there's times when I've become angry and then I've looked back and I said, I can't, this is not something that I want. See, before, it's just the way it is, right? You did what you did to protect, to make things right, to make amends, all this stuff. But see, now God has shown me and He's taught me that my heart that was once hardened when I thought I knew Him, now that I do know Him, I could go back to that state. Do you think Judas thought he was lost? He didn't know he was lost until he threw those 30 pieces of silver at the feet of the men. That's when he knew. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, one of the things that Peter, we don't have record of that Peter mentioned, was the incident that happened with the rooster. That would have been a great line for him to say, look, I was where y'all were at. Because, see, there's nothing that will grab an audience more. There's nothing that will make people seem invested more than to bring them together. And to associate, that I can associate with you and you can associate with me. Yeah, that's not too hard, right? To associate with me. But Peter didn't do that. Not that we heard. Now, he says at the end of his sermon, with many other words, he testified to them, be saved from this perverse generation. He might have said it in there. But the message that goes forth to everybody, we don't see that from Peter. Peter didn't start talking about himself. Peter didn't start telling people about himself, because had he done that, guess what would have happened? A hard heart would have started to develop, because it would start to become about Peter, about what Peter wanted. That's what got Judas. It's what Judas wanted, right? But he didn't do that. He preached Christ, and he preached Him crucified, and he preached Him raised. And he told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And that's a promise that He made to everyone.